Welcome back to Through the Word, and today Joshua 2 has a bit of a scandalous opening. Let's read it. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stay there. Why stay in the house of a prostitute? Well, it was discreet. It was secret. It was tucked away as most houses of prostitutes are, out of plain sight. So, verse 2 says, the king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. Talk about good intel. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab, bring out the men who came to you and entered your house because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I don't know where they came from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You still might catch them. But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. As soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Now, Hebrews 11 actually tells us it was by faith that Rahab hid the spies, which is saying a lot because at that point, she didn't really know the God of Israel. Verse 8 tells us, before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given you this land and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I've shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and my mother, my brothers and sisters, on all who belong to them, that you will save us all from death. She has a type of conversion experience, to be sure. She wants to be saved from the destruction coming her way, and in this way, she's a bit of a businesswoman. She's making a shrewd calculation. After all, she was taken up in the oldest business that women ever practiced. She's already bartered and traded things in her life that have put her at risk before. That's nothing new for her. But here, she puts all that courage and survivor mentality to a positive use and escapes her old way of life and certain destruction. Now, you may think it's strange that the first person to be saved is a prostitute, but it's actually very fitting. You see, prostitutes flock to Jesus, and it wouldn't be the first time that someone of that profession left their old ways by faith and followed him. And he received them every single time. In fact, that's one of the things about Mary Magdalene that people have taken great hope in, that no matter where you're at in life, it's never too late to turn it around and escape the destruction and fall into the arms of Jesus. You could say that Rahab even had a special place in Jesus' heart, much like Mary Magdalene did. After all, if you've read the genealogies of Jesus, Rahab was actually one of his ancestors. Yep, you heard me right. Rahab actually marries an Israelite and has a baby who Jesus is descended of. In Matthew 1, we read, Salmon, don't get hungry, the father of Boaz, you've heard that name before if you've read Ruth, whose mother was Rahab, and Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. So not only was she Jesus' descendant, but Boaz's grandmama, you know, from the book of Ruth. Now that's pretty cool, which means Rahab was actually David's great-great-grandmama. That's the sound of my head exploding in your earpods, and probably that blew your noggin as well. Now this may seem trivial to you, but the whole passage here is about grace. God is rescuing someone who is truly at the very bottom rungs of society. Rahab was scraping the bottom of the barrel of all that life had to offer her. And when somebody prostitutes themselves, they fail to value themselves in the way that God does. And they don't think they deserve any better. But here, something changed in Rahab. For maybe the first time in her life, she had hope of a new life. And in verse 17, they tell her, "The men said to her, 'This oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless when we enter the land, you have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And unless you have brought your father and mother, your brothers, and all your family into the house, as long as they stay in the room with the scarlet cord hanging on it, they'll be fine.'" The scarlet thread hung out the window is like the scarlet thread that runs through the entire Bible, the thread of the blood of atonement that makes this kind of grace possible. No matter where the people of God are, or their enemies are for that sake, there's always an opportunity to repent, to escape. Even in Revelation, we're told that even, quote, "after all the plagues, they would not repent," unquote. Because having the opportunity to repent and taking it are not the same thing. How about you today? Have you taken the opportunity to repent and follow Jesus? Have you begun to escape the coming wrath, as Peter said to the crowd on the day of Pentecost, "Escape this perverse generation"? The free offer of God's grace is being held out to you now. But will you take it, like Rahab? Place your faith and trust in God and in His ability to save and forgive you, to restore you, to cleanse you, to give you a fresh start and a new life, just like Rahab. You see, God has been spying out your life, and He knows where you live. He knows what you've done, and He loves you anyways. The most scandalous thing about this chapter today is God's grace, and it's still available for you, my friend, today.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.